Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers that are want to share our love of astrology and our fascination with how astrology manifests in the world around us. So we'll begin first by talking about what's going on in the astro weather system and then put out for callers and ask you to call in and talk about your life. But what a week it is. So we're going to get into that in a minute. First, I want to introduce ourselves. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, where it's finally beginning to thaw. And I'm joined by my friends from New York, Mark.
Mark Wolves, over on the west side of the island of Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And over on the east side is...
Ann Ortley. I'm at my bright red desk sitting here after having a lovely day. It's actually really been nice here in New York today, too. So, looking forward to the week moving along.
Well, we certainly have had, last week we talked about getting a giant wake-up call on Friday as Uranus head into Aries.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think even those of us who saw it as a giant wake-up call as Uranus went into the sign of Aries, we didn't realize just how huge a wake-up call that was going to be.
Right.
At the same time, there was also a coronal mass ejection. The sun was very active, and there was a large solar storm reaching the Earth about the same time, which set off a geomagnetic storm around the edges of the Earth at the same time that Uranus went into Aries. And we talked about changes. I wrote in my article, tectonic and cultural shifts. And it literalized in tectonic and cultural shifts. But Uranus in Aries is a wake-up call, and we're being asked to wake up. Wake up and let go of a story that we've been working on 2003. Wake up and let go of feeling disempowered and walk into what can we do to make healthy and positive changes, even in the chaos, especially in the chaos, or especially in whatever challenge we're facing in our life, to use the letting go of an old system and walking into a new system to improve our lives and the lives of those around us. So very interesting aspects over the weekend. We see that in the disasters happening in Japan. I dedicate this and anything else that we do to the benefit of all sentient beings, and particularly to the benefit of those people on the edge in Japan right now. But we see Uranus, as it entered the sign of Aries, begins to move into a square with Pluto, which is one of the main astrological components of the next 4 years. And we see Uranus, which produces change, beginning to square Pluto. And that's power, both electrical power, political power, and personal power. And we see, as Uranus square Pluto, the entire world reassessing their use of atomic power and possibly adding more fervor to the idea of alternative energy. So I think it's an interesting part of the aspect.
Right, because if we think of Saturn as being the structures and Capricorn, yeah. Pluto's in Capricorn, it's saying, you know, you think these structures are so good, but I'm Pluto, I can take them out. You know, they're gonna go. And what is your vision of how you can do this? And I think being aware, similarly to when BP blew up in the Gulf, you know, we do this stuff, we don't always know how to stop it. And I think that's part of the journey. Well, okay, if we're going to do this, what is our ability? I thought it was really interesting that the minister of the atomic thing in Japan apologized to the world. He goes, I'm really sorry. You know, we don't actually know what we're doing here. We're working on this, but it's, you know, it's kind of an unknown thing. And, you know, 84 years ago when Uranus went into Aries the last time, there was no nuclear power. We didn't have such a thing. And the revitalization of going towards it, which was part of the, well, that's how we're going to cope with when we get peak oil, I think now it's like, well, can we maybe go back to looking at the sunshine or, you know, some other forms of power that are actually bio-ready, you know, that are not going to be so impactful on the Earth. So.
Well, it's Interesting, when I looked back at 1932, last time Uranus went into Aries and also was square Pluto, at the time only Pluto was in Cancer, was between 1900 and 1932, 80% of all the houses in America became electrified.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1932, during the Depression, there was a major abuses of the local power systems. Most of the electricity was from privately owned power companies. And because they were abusing their ability during the Depression, there was a huge push to federalize the electrical system at that time and change in how the whole electrical power system began. And again, we have power and power, the power around electrical power, as one of the key issues.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when it's privatized, there is no incentive unless you can figure out how to make money from it, as opposed to if you're just saying, hey, everybody needs power, let's figure out how to do it without necessarily making a profit from it. It's actually something that we need as a collective.
When Nikola Tesla was explaining to J.P. Morgan, who was investing in him, that his system would provide electricity, should be able to provide electricity for all, he said, what, I can't put a meter in it? You know, where do I put the meter?
Mm-hmm.
No meter? And they pulled out his power, his financing.
Right.
Mark, what are you seeing this week?
Well, you know, we talk about a wake-up call with Uranus moving into Aries and coming into this square with Pluto, which will make it even stronger. And we definitely have a wake-up call with what's going on in Japan. And it's an interesting thing because actually we can thank the folks in Japan for showing us what we need to do, because imagine if what's going on for them was going on for you, how would you respond? And the wake-up call is figure out what it is that will help you stay grounded and centered, even though the ground is shaken and broken open and on fire and flooded and, you know, all of this. What can you do to keep calm at your center, even though everything else is, you know, in the shambles around you? And that's something that we can all learn from seeing that, oh, yeah, this stuff really happens. This is not Hollywood, right? There's nothing, Hollywood can't come up with something like this, that's for real. It's just it's all imaginative. And but this is telling us that, you know, we all need to find something and develop it so that we're ready. So when Uranus does bring something like this right to our neighborhood, we are able to respond and that we can be glad that we had something to respond with. And actually, I think we're seeing some very good examples from people in Japan of responding very well. And we can, you know, I would hope that I can respond as well as a lot of people have. But I need to look around me now and say, if I don't think I have something that will help me hold my center together, then I should start developing it. Right? So that's the wake-up call for me.
How to hold the center.
Yeah.
When the world falls apart.
And the people around you are spinning out.
Yeah, I mean, how much more can the world fall apart than to have, first of all, the whole crust of the earth shakes and rattles, and then a huge wave comes in and floods and buries everything and pushes everything with water. And then in the aftermath of that, you get fire and radiation. But, God, you know, it pretty well covers it, you know.
And
all we need is a plague of locusts, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's about the only thing we're missing, you know.
You know, what we need is
In a way, they have that because then there's, they're missing food and water and shelter afterward, too.
And the plague may come.
Right.
It's and I'm seeing several relationships, several people who have been psychologically delicate for a while having a meltdown. And several relationships which were kind of rocky or tense having a rift. You know, other people are actually feeling more alive because they, you know, all their small problems just disappear in the face of natural disaster. They realize that that really doesn't matter. And they wake up and they've gone back to some core priority of theirs and feel actually more alive this week. So I'm seeing the wake-up call. I'm seeing them look at it like, I could die any moment, so why am I in this? Why am I not doing what I love?
Right.
And stepping forward into, you know, what am I waiting for feeling?
Right.
And I think that's one of the things that Uranus is saying, Uranus and Aries. What are we waiting for?
Yeah, it helps you put all those little, you know, Twitter messages in perspective, right?
Well, you say, like,
somebody put on a... A tweet doesn't have to upset you when you consider that, you know, like if you're in Japan, there's no tweeting going on. You know, it just fits a perspective.
Right.
So, how are
well,
we?
I also
could
think,
probably open the the.
Well, we didn't cover the.
We only have a half an hour these days, and we would
moon.
Like to get to the call.
Yeah, we've only got one caller, and nobody's got their hand up, so that's good.
Okay.
So the calling number is 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881 if you want to call in with a question. But we also have the full moon this week, which is big, and we have the vernal equinox, meaning the sun goes into Aries. So for the northern hemisphere, we start our springtime, yay! And for the winter, the southern folk, the people who listen to us from below the border, whether we have the winter beginning. You guys get winter, we get summer. I'm like a cliffhanger. I just sent in my beach plans, my schedule to my house person that I rent the house from. What weekends I want to come out. So I'm feeling very like, oh, yeah. I was planning my summer.
What
this,
a wonderful feeling.
I know, it was really good. I went and laid down this afternoon. I thought, I need a nap. I'm really... just kind of feeling too much energy flying through me. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to plan my beach days. And it was wonderful. And then I ordered a bathing suit right before the show started. So I'm feeling like, yes, you know, summer's coming and I'm ready. But we do have a full moon. Before we have summer, we have spring, which starts on Sunday. We also have St. Patrick's Day this week, luck of the Irish. And we also have the eclipses from December 21st getting triggered, because everybody's going over those points. Pisces sun is going to go over it, wake it up. And the full moon is at 28.
And how would you see that happening for us?
Well, it's going to wake up the story from the eclipse again. It's going to wake up the story from December. And it also is the last, the sun is going to say, I'm running over the Pisces point that Uranus was just at last week, so I'm going to light up for you what this story is about. I'm going to help you see it in a different level. And it also, as it squares the nodes of destiny, because they're there at 29 also, we face a choice. We face a choice in the corner, a crossroads is the best way, because it actually looks like a crossroads in the heavens, where we get to pick which direction we want to head. So very often we're going to be asked sometime this week to make a choice about what we want, where we're going. And in understanding that that choice comes on Saturday and Sunday, plus the moon is really close to Earth. It's called a supermoon or a perigee zygzygy. I'm not sure I'm saying zygzygy right. But it just means that we're the tides will be high on the ocean, and then of course our body's 50% water, so our tides are going to be high in our bodies too. We're going to be feeling emotional this next weekend as we have that full moon. So I think it's like knowing that, yeah, I'm feeling really emotional. Great, that's right where I'm supposed to be. Okay, what do I need to do to focus my vision on what's important to me? Because when we have a high tide in our body, you know, reflected in the world around us, we feel it. So, and this is also a Virgo moon. So Virgo is always about our habits and our routines and our rituals. And so it's a good time to release bad habits or to release things that aren't serving you energetically anymore, and say,
and I would
long.
Say that with that full moon in Virgo, one of the key issues is not to to look at where you blame others by finding them at fault and disempower your ability to change the situation.
Right.
And take on the power to change the situation yourself.
Right.
The good side of Virgo.
Right. The good side.
I have an email here from one of our listeners.
Oh, good, because we didn't get it. Nobody's raised their hand yet.
Okay, and how do they raise their hand?
They press 1.
Okay, wonderful. It says, I really have amazing grace that you three have a radio show. I'm a huge fan but I am blindsided. I have found that my husband is having an affair with a woman in his office for 1 year who is married. I found text messages. They say they love each other. I told my husband to fire her. He is her boss, and he refuses. So I kicked him out in January. And she was born October 9th.
Wait.
19. October 9th, 1956.
Okay.
October 9th, 1956, for those playing along at home, at 6:09 a.m. in Hartford, Connecticut.
Okay. So the question is, she kicked him out.
She says, will my husband be caught in his lies?
Well, you already caught him. Oh.
Well, but they think they're getting away with it at office.
Oh, okay.
Will the affair be found out at the office, and will it last? Now, the husband's birth date, I'll give you one. I'm just going to finish this up here. She also gives it up. But first, let's look at her chart.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you see from her chart? As far as how she's going to handle this, because she's asking about them, but she's the one asking the question, so we kind of need to also deal with her.
Yeah. Well, are they going to find out at work? I have always found, and I mean, I am a Scorpio Saturn. I always spot the people at work that are having the affairs. They think they hide it, you know, but people know. It's like one of those things. Everybody is very tuned into who's zooming who in the office. And having worked in corporate America for 25 years, I can tell you in every office who was having an affair with who, even if I didn't actually see him kissing or anything. But, yes, do we think he's going to get caught? Probably. Saturn is coming to his son, to her
well,
son
her,
in the first.
That's her chart.
Right,
her chart.
Right, but he's the male in her life.
Yes.
And he's in the, you know, it's in sun rules her career house, which is her wanting him to get caught, but it also rules for him, you know, Saturn is the ruler of his 10th house, which is her 4th. So, yeah, I think he'll get caught, and I think it'll be problematic for sure. And time frame for it is probably by June. And if not by June, then by September, when Saturn hits that sun. And I say June because Saturn's going opposite Ceres in the 7th house, which can be a whatever. And Saturn is also squaring Juno at 11 degrees of Capricorn, May, June, July. So that is making choices about the marriage. Her finding the news, you know, the letters, I think she should probably wait to see what she wants to do about it. You know, Saturn to the ascendant often presents a crisis in the relationship. And I think that's what she's working with. But the square to Juno was the wife who had the husband that cheated on her, Zeus. And, you know, this partner is described as an Aries with Mars in the 12th. So his 12th, so stationary. And she's having a Mars return right now. So, you know, this kind of stuff always comes out. It's just a matter of what's the posture. And she's a Libra, so relationships are important to her.
And she has her moon in Sagittarius.
Yeah. Right?
A Libra moon in Sagittarius, Libra rising, with a Mercury-Jupiter in the 12th. And she's very good at seeing what's going on behind the scenes.
Behind
the
Mercury
scenes.
Jupiter
in the 12th. And with a moon in outspoken, honest Sagittarius, she would like to hear the truth, and the idea of not truth is horrific to her.
Right.
But she's got her Venus in Virgo, and I don't think she notices how she can poke. And her Mars in Pisces can move a little bit into feeling like the victim in a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Saturn is coming up to her Sun, and she has to be the adult here and make wise long-term decisions for the situation.
Right.
Her husband, on the other hand, doesn't have a tendency to be mature. He's a Libra with a Mercury-Neptune conjunction in Libra, so he's very good at living in a fantasy world. And
mm-hmm.
his moon's in Virgo, so he also can be on a critical edge. I think he moves into defensive posture. And he has his Mars in Leo.
Heather, you didn't give out his chart yet.
Oh, sorry. He is October 19th.
He's a Libra too? Okay.
Yeah, 1949, but we don't have a time. It's in Vermont, but we don't have a time.
Okay.
Now, he has his Mars in Leo, and so I think that she didn't, you know, that he craved a little bit more attention and adulation, and so having someone underneath him who looks up to him, it was
and
very
adores rough. Him. Those office affairs are very
him.
Adoring.
Tell him what he does wrong, because
mm-hmm.
he gets very defensive when corrected,
mm-hmm.
and he likes to live in an imaginary world.
Mm-hmm.
But Pluto is squaring his Mercury on and off this year, and having just been through that, it's no fun. I think that he's going to feel quite alone in the new circumstances, and that being on his own, there's some nasty wake-up calls coming for him.
Did she actually kick him out, or did she just catch him?
She said she kicked him out.
Mm-hmm.
She filed for divorce,
mm-hmm.
and she's afraid that they will start to hide assets, and I have the feeling that she's right. I don't think he necessarily wants to screw her over. I think he just wants everything lovely and wonderful. He wants everybody gets along and wants to be adored, and that's not going to happen necessarily. And, you know, it's that I agree with her that she needs to do this and be honest, but she needs to know that he can't be honest with necessarily himself, let alone with her. And I don't think there was an intention to screw her over. It was a craving for love and magic that he did unwisely, unprofessionally, but that she can, if she's not mean about it until after she gets her money, that if she can help him believe that everybody could be happier afterwards and that he needs to be fair, and she doesn't rank on him too much and set off his defenses, but keeps a close eye on him. You know, like, you know, it's trust in Allah and tie up your camel with him.
Mm-hmm.
If she can do that, he will be more likely to be fair to her financially than if she sets off his defenses and puts him down all the time. Because he can really dig in his heels when he's defensive. But she can just say, look, I can't do this. You can't do this. You want to be with someone else. Just be nice to me and the children. Everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Then call him to his better self.
Yeah, I think that calling him to his better self is the focus. Because that moon in Virgo, you know, he fell in love with his new one on a Neptune thing. And
exactly.
She's got Neptune on his Sun, so
yeah.
She doesn't really see
yeah.
him clearly either.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got that moon in Virgo in her 12th house, so hiding assets is definitely the way to go. And he's got that Mars-Pluto, so if he wants to go to war with her, it can be a very hard war. So
yeah.
Her posture on this is, yes, he's going to hide money. You know, the Mars in Leo is a proud Mars, but that Virgo moon can be pretty mean. And
it can be.
It can be very mean.
If it gets its hackles up.
Yeah, it gets its hackles up, and then it gets really, you know, it'll fight to the end there.
If the Virgo moon thinks, you're going to hate me and tell me I'm doing everything wrong, whether I'm good or bad, I might as well be bad.
I might as well be bad, right. I might as well prove you're right.
But if you say, here, you could do this in a way that you will feel good about later on, and your kids won't disrespect you for it. And keep can like there's a way of doing this well, and keep calling him to that, and remind him that he can come back to that, at least until all the papers are drawn up, and then she can be mean as she wants.
Well, my feeling would be because,
and I do think he's going to be found out.
Yeah,
you know,
I think
that's
he's going to be found
out. But since he's the boss, I don't think it's going to make that much difference.
Right. Unless it's a place, you know, he's the boss of the person or he's the owner of the business.
I don't know.
Yeah, if he's the owner of the business, it's a, you know, everybody's already talking about it. If he's the boss of the place, they, a lot of times, you know, people have affairs now at work and they don't fire him anymore. But, you know, it is problematic. I think my feeling with the Libra stuff, the Sun-Neptune, especially on the Sun and the South node, he's a very big one for denying responsibility that he did stuff. So I would really, you know, throw a little wrench into the love nest, too. I mean, you don't want to be particularly mean, but you want to just say, here, the kids are coming to you for the weekend, and leave them with him. And, you know, go away on trips and go off with your friends and develop other interests and dump the kids on him as much as possible in a nice way.
That's wonderful.
Because then love nest thing, you know, becomes a whole different thing when love nest involves children. And it's not a happy little love nest anymore. It actually is a, oh, you have to, you have a responsibility to raise the kids, and here they are for the weekend again. You know, it's not an affair anymore.
It might actually be grandkids at this point.
Yes, could be grandkids at this point, right. And so that's a good point. I hadn't thought of that yet.
I don't think it is, actually. They've been married for 16 years, so I don't think.
Okay. All right. So then, yeah, dump the kids on them, you know, and take off. Because it's, you know, that is a, I've got one client who's got a husband who's got a little young one, and she just leaves the kids with him and keeps, you know, gives the nanny the day off, you know, so he gets the kids. And it has caused a little bit of a problem in the relationship. I'm like, that was very clever. She goes, I'm a very clever woman. I said, okay, that's good, you know, because, you know, it's not love anymore. It's okay, now we got to deal with the children.
Love and stir the oatmeal.
Yeah. Love and stir the oatmeal. It's a whole different reality, yeah. So, but I do think it, you know, from her point of view, you know, if it's June is when we know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So she's already kicked him out. So June may be when they get some paperwork signed and stuff. So, right. Mark, what do you see?
So do we have anybody else waiting on the phone?
Nope.
I was just going to say, I think it's very much true that she needs to encourage him to move to the higher side. And she can do that with the Sagittarius energy that she has, her north node there, and the Sagittarius moon. You know, she'd really, I mean, as part of her, the whole Virgo part of her would like to really, you know, see somebody suffer and all that, but she doesn't need to get stuck there.
Yeah.
She can use the Sagittarius side and just figure there's a way for this to be okay for everybody. And she's much better off doing that because this really brings freedom to her. It doesn't feel like it in the moment, but and she feels, you know, deceived and betrayed and all of that is true, but you're not going to change it by, you know, being a stickler on things. So just let it go and realize that it is going to allow you to move on.
He is kind of high maintenance, you know. So the part of her that's a little bit relieved on some level that he's someone else's problem, even if she's hurt, you know, because on some level she lost the magic with him and he needs that magic. And if he doesn't have it, he gets kind of difficult, you know. He can be very charming, but if he's not being loved and adored all the time, he's high maintenance, you know. So,
figure you're it's kind of like, you know, getting rid of a car at about two years before any of the problems set in, you know. It's not a 10-year-old car with all the parts falling apart.
Right, it's a 60-some-odd-year-old car. And that is true. He does look like he's got some health stuff coming next year, too. So, at any rate, we hopefully that's helpful. And if it's not, we're sorry. But, yeah, I think he will get caught. They always get caught. And everybody in the office always knows they're having an affair. It's just,
they already know. It's just a matter of
are they doing anything about it, you know?
Right.
So in this last week, and again, I have a feeling there's a good chance that something already shook up in that relationship because we heard from them a week ago before Uranus went into Aries, and that somewhere in our lives over the last 2 weeks, we have been shaken up.
Yep.
We may be dealing with the people around us who are shaken up. We may just feel ourselves feeling a little, you know, nervous or too much electricity, but we need to hold our center. It's time for us to go, so I will say this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from Minnesota. And Mark?
Mark Waltz in New York.
And Ann Ortley in New York. Stop by the Open Center tomorrow. We'll talk about the tsunami.
Okay.
Have a great week.
And know that any of us are available to you at any time to do a personal reading.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
And
business.
Next week.
All right, take care.
Bye,
everybody.
Okay, bye now.